It is so important when you're trying to achieve something to focus on your goal. Hello everyone, welcome to Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet. I'm Violet. I'm a psychologist in Montreal, which is in Quebec, Canada. And the reason that I make these videos is because it is so important to understand that physical health and mental health are both necessary if we're going to be happy in life. And one of the things that I've noticed is that we all too often only focus on the physical, and we don't either understand or put enough emphasis on what psychological things go along in making sure that the physical parts happen. And today we're talking about how important it is to understand what your goal is so that you can actually accomplish it. So to keep ourselves focused. When you begin a weight loss plan and you're already thinking about what you're going to eat, so how you're basically going to get off the plan once you've lost the weight, we've already lost that battle. It's important for us to recognize that if we are not taking the things that we're doing seriously, we won't be successful at them. And what I mean by taking them seriously is if I decide that I'm not happy with my weight, and then I decide that I'm going to do something about it. So there's me taking it seriously. Well, the moment that I start planning what I'm going to do, and in the course of planning what I'm going to do, I'm also planning how I'm going to stop doing this as soon as I reach my goal. Well, now all I've really done is set myself up to be frustrated. Number of reasons why. I'm already letting myself know that the reason that I'm trying to lose weight is more about vanity than health. Because as soon as I accomplish that new weight, my plan is to do what sounds like poor behaviors from where I'm sitting right now that are against what I just did. So I'm losing weight and then I'll turn around and eat the wrong thing. What's causing me to do that? So if I'm trying to lose weight because I want to look a certain way, that's not really about health, right? That's about appearance. That's about what other people think. That's about external factors. It's not about me, my health, my happiness, right? I might be happier if I'm thinner, but does it really matter if I'm thinner? If as soon as I get to the weight I was thinking will be healthy, well, no, the weight that I think that I'm gonna be happy at, I turn around and eat things that are gonna push me above that weight again. It's really important for us to understand that if we could be at that weight eating these things, we would be at that weight eating these things. So planning to be off plan as soon as you get where you want to go is a really bad idea. The other thing that that does is it sets us up to not learn to enjoy the foods that we are currently eating that are getting us to this healthy weight. Now I'm making the big assumption that whether it is that you're changing your eating plan because you're overweight and need to lose fat, or you're changing your eating plan because you're underweight and need to gain muscle, regardless, if eating better then equals I'm at a better weight, now we have to start to ask ourselves, do I value all the work, the effort that I put in to get here? Am I able to see that eating these foods, these healthier foods that I've chosen to eat to get to this new space, are just better for me? Am I willing then to say that this better quality diet that got me to this healthier weight is something that I can invest in? Changing our body composition is difficult, whether we're trying to lose weight because we're overweight or whether we're trying to gain weight because we are needing more muscle on our bodies. That's even if you're doing a ketogenic lifestyle. If your goals are short term, then when you arrive at your goal, there would be nothing else to keep you engaging this behavior. Now let's look at something. If I happen to be overweight, there's a large likelihood that that means that on some level I've been overeating sugar. If you look at some of my previous videos, what you're going to see, and I'll link them up here, what you're going to see is that overeating sugar is actually bad for us for multiple reasons. So when I put in all the energy, effort, and even focus that it takes for me to get to this new healthy weight, then do I allow myself to re-injure my body? Because that's what I'd be doing by bringing carbohydrates back into my life, right? Removing the sugar means I'm at a better weight. I now have to ask myself, can I commit to being healthier? I just want to be clear that when I say sugar, I'm talking about all carby foods, right? So I'm talking about fruits, I'm talking about bread, I'm talking about, so all the grains, I'm talking about starchy vegetables, high carb dairies. When we are trying to be healthy, we need to understand that when we introduce large amounts of carbohydrates into our system feels overloaded. It can't manage all of those sugars. And so what happens is it shuttles it off into fat, which is exactly what we were fighting against. So committing, being focused on the ultimate goal, which is better health, which is what I think we all should be focused on, helps us to then manage these short-term goals and even to create even longer-term goals once we've reached our weight goal. So one of the things that that helps us to be focused, understanding that a weight goal, which is fine, and most people have a weight goal, which is fine, is okay as long as we also recognize that there's bigger goals that we need to have. For example, we do also need to have a health goal. And health is something that you work on all the time, because every year as you get older, there'll be more goals to put in place. So whether it's going to be able to be stronger, whether it's going to be able to have better endurance, regardless, we can always keep ourselves focused on health by adding new goals for our overall health. The other thing to keep in mind is that yo-yo dieting is very dangerous for us. And it's not necessarily because of the foods themselves. It's what the foods are doing to our system. When we lower our calorie intake, our basal metabolic rate goes down. And what we seem to see is that when it's low for more than 6 months, our body adjusts. And if this low that we put ourselves to is not sustainable, so if I've just lowered everything calorie-wise, but I can't keep myself there, it's not something that I feel comfortable, happy to do, then eventually what happens is that I can't sustain this and I eat more, so my calorie intake goes back up. Unfortunately, when I do that, my basal metabolic rate is still down. And we end up gaining weight. And then by the time our basal metabolic rate restabilizes at a higher number, we've already gained a bunch of weight. And now we are stable at that size. And usually that's a higher weight, usually, not always, but usually it's a higher weight than what we started with. So part of the reason that planning to lose weight and then right away planning to allow yourself to get off plan is dangerous is because even if you manage to lose all the weight you want to lose, if you didn't do it in a way that was sustainable, so if you didn't do it in a way where you weren't feeling hungry, so basically you want to lose the weight, feel energized, feel satiated most of the time until you're needing to eat, and be able to maintain this lifestyle going forward, or else, unfortunately, you will put yourself in a position where once you start to eat to satiation, you're past the amount of calories that your body was expecting and you will gain weight. So really lowering your calorie intake super low and this basically yo-yo dieting thing that we do is not healthy for us. How do we make sure that we're able to stay in a certain kind of diet forever? Honestly, the easiest way is making sure that whatever it is that you're eating, you love it. If I love what I'm eating, I'll be able to make that meal and be happy for that meal over and over and over. Really, when we're on the standard American diet, which too many of us are, you tend to have the same 7 to 12 meals over and over and over, and everybody's fine with that. We can do the same thing with any new diet plan we're starting, whether it's a paleo, whether it's a vegan, whether it's a keto diet. I personally am on a keto diet, and honestly, I'm not bored of what I eat. I've never been bored of what I eat. Now, full disclosure, I'm not a foodie person. I'm not a foodie, but I will say that all the people around me who are eating normal standard American diet, I notice that same meals over and over and over. If we can happily eat carby foods over and over and over, we definitely can happily eat ketogenic foods and ketogenic is a weird word because it's regular food. It's food that we eat that has fewer carbs. It's grocery store, normal food that are not refined. So everybody can eat this way. Everybody can eat in a healthy way. You need to figure out the healthy way that's going to work for you. My point to you today is whatever way that you choose that's healthy for you, stick to it. And the best way to stick to it is creating meals that you love so that you look forward to eating those meals. Finding snacks that you love so that you look forward to eating those snacks. When we do that, we will be healthier and we will be able to maintain this lifestyle going forward forever. It's unfortunate that we continue to base our meal planning around what's easy and convenient. For example, a ketogenic lifestyle is neither easy nor convenient. Basically, it means that I have to cook every day. However, with proper meal planning, cooking actually doesn't need to be every day, so I technically don't have to. I choose to. But with proper meal planning, it doesn't have to be every day. And with proper meal planning, it can be easier, but it's never going to be easy, right? It's not the same thing as taking a microwave dinner and popping it in the microwave. It's not that easy, but it's healthier. And so when I'm needing to choose, am I going to go for easy or am I going to go for healthy? Well, what I figured out is by going for the healthy meal, the rest of my life is easier because I have more energy, I have more enjoyment of the things that I'm doing on a regular basis. So actually eating the healthy meal turns out to be the easier thing because it makes my life easier. And so it all balances itself out. When I allow myself to focus on the benefits I get from eating a healthy and well-balanced meal, I'm much more encouraged to keep doing that day after day after day. However, if I let myself focus on the challenges that come along with having to cook every day, or the challenges of needing to have fresh produce in the fridge all the time, then I might find reasons or excuses not to eat this way. Again, if I'm focused on my health first and the long-term benefits that I'm going to get out of eating this way, much more likely to keep doing it. One of the major negatives that people talk about, which makes me laugh today because I think I was one of those people, was the whole idea that vegetables are boring and they don't taste good. And you know, Dr. Barry is constantly saying, shut up and eat your vegetables. And I actually believe that we should just all just shut up and eat our vegetables, because it's true. When you start eating more vegetables than sugary, carby foods, and eventually when you don't have carby, sugary foods in your life, what you start to realize is that vegetables have a lot of different flavors, and it's wide. The spectrum of what you get from eating a vegetable is so much wider than just eating carbohydrate-laden foods. It's not just about sweet. I think that it took me a little while to actually allow myself to believe and understand how great it was that I was enjoying vegetables that I never thought I would enjoy, like cauliflower. Never thought I always hated cauliflower until I stopped eating carbs, and then all of a sudden cauliflower tasted. So these are funny things that you don't think, why is it that I like the flavor now? Well, when you don't have carbs, and so the psychological repercussions of carbs, because don't forget, when you eat carbohydrates in high doses, it elicits the part of your brain that's the pleasure center and makes you want it more and more and more. When that's not happening, then you're actually seeking the food because it tastes pleasurable. And believe it or not, vegetables do taste pleasurable. So when we open that door and allow ourselves to really enjoy flavors, we start to see that, yeah, these things taste good. And it reminds me again, I always think about this, how my daughter has always leaned towards vegetables. And I'm so happy that I didn't allow her any sweets until 4 years old, because it allowed her palate to really engage all of these vegetables. And to this day, she's still quite a fan of vegetables. So there is something there. We can and do, and I do, love vegetables when we give ourselves a chance. So clearly then, one of the best ways to not feel deprived, because we often feel deprived when we go onto a diet because everybody else is eating, but I can't. But one of the best ways to feel that you're enjoying your food is finding a way to cook the foods you are eating in a way that makes you excited to run home and eat it. That salad dressing that you love, those vegetables that you roast just the right way, that meat that you grill to perfection, all of these things help us to stick to our diet because we love it. These are the things that when we invest our time in making sure that we're happy to eat it, we're more likely to eat it. And that's going to keep us on plan. It's going to keep us focused on our long-term goal, which is better health, so that I can do the things with my family that I want to do, so I can do the things with my friends that I want to do, so that I can accomplish the goals that I set out to accomplish for myself, both physically and socially and psychologically for myself. If I'm well-fed and I feel strong, I'll be able to do that. I want to share something with you because I think this is super important. When we begin this process and we're really, really focused on taking foods that we used to eat and finding a way to make them, and then incorporating those things into our everyday life so that we don't feel deprived, going back to that idea, what ends up happening is that by engaging with these foods that come from our old diet, it kind of makes us wish we were still on our old diet, or at least it did for me. And I think that one of the things we can really do to help ourselves is when you start a new diet, especially a diet that has a significantly different enough way of eating, so the standard American diet versus the ketogenic diet is significantly different enough that I was eventually able to figure out that I needed to put bread away. I needed to put all these ideas away, French fries, all these things. I had to put them down and just focus my energy on eating things that had fewer to no carbs. And after months of doing that, the thing that struck me was that I stopped wanting those things. Actually, after 2 weeks, I stopped wanting those other things. But months later, I really was not drawn to them. Now, the one food that I was still drawn to was pizza. And of course, there's ways to make pizza that fall in a ketogenic lifestyle. So that was fine. But I think the thing that I figured out when I finally just let myself like put those things down was that by keeping them in my life, but they weren't quite the same, whenever I would eat them, it was a disappointment. And so then it made me miss my old food. That's the first thing. The other thing I noticed was that when I did put them down and I was able to focus on my new foods, my flavors that I was looking for changed. And then when I went back to those foods, especially like I had a strawberry and it was like, whoa, so super, way too sweet. And I was able to realize that I'm not even interested in eating those things any longer. there's a lot of value in committing to what you're doing and being focused on your goal, because then it helps you to acquire the skills you need to make that goal happen. Even if the skill is a change in the way that my taste buds are, you know, processing these flavors so that I love what I'm eating now and I'm less worried about what I used to eat. Artificial sweeteners is something else that I noticed is a very big struggle for people. And for myself, what I noticed was that when I allowed myself to continue to drink diet sodas, what became apparent to me was that when I drank a diet soda, so between two meals, I became ravenous. I was extremely hungry. And being a psychologist, I started thinking about what could possibly be happening here. And the thing that occurred to me is that when I taste something sweet, my brain doesn't know if there's calories in it or not. It just gets the signal that something sweet has entered me. So if my body can only manage 5 grams of carbs at any particular moment in time, but my brain is getting the signal that I've just ingested a bunch of carbs, is there a possibility that my body starts shuttling the carbs into fat stores because it's making space for all these carbs that are coming in? But guess what? They weren't coming. And so the unfortunate thing that happens there, or at least that happened to me in any case, was that about 20 minutes after drinking that diet soda, I was ridiculously hungry, even though I knew that I shouldn't have been hungry because normally I could make it so much further. And after a few times of that happening to me, what I started to realize is that I really can't drink a diet soda between meals. I can drink it at the meal because I am eating some carbs and it seems to balance itself out, but I can't drink it between meals. I feel like our minds are equipped to protect us because that's its job, and it's not going to let me overload myself with carbs and pass out or something or kill myself. So that connection between my brain and my mouth tasting sugar, I believe, shuttles away those carbs. And at the end of the day, if I don't recognize that's happening to me, I might have actually believed I was hungry, when in reality, I wasn't hungry. And any day that I drank coffee or tea in that space rather than diet soda, I wasn't hungry. And then how does that affect me? And does it push me to eat at a time that I normally wouldn't have eaten? So that's the other thing I'm going to say is let's be careful and be conscious of our goal, because my ultimate goal is to eat what's healthy and appropriate. And I'm not going to talk about whether or not artificial sweeteners are good for us, because that's a whole other topic. I'm just talking about what it does to me and how does it keep me on or off my goal. We've given ourselves enough time to get over missing sweet things. Then it also becomes interesting how things that didn't taste sweet to us before become sweet. I don't know if you've ever tried that stevia sweetened cola, but I've tried it, and I tried it close to when I was drinking diet soda, and I didn't like it. I found it was bland. I found it was like barely, you could taste any flavor to it. It was really just like, eh, I didn't like it. Interestingly enough, when I allowed myself time to drink just water and to get away from, you know, the sodas and whatever, and I was more focused on my health, and then I tried one another time, and guess what? Whoa, it was like a really nice treat. I liked it. I found it was very tasty. And I found that the sweetness was like right on point. When we allow sweet things in our lives, we don't recognize that they keep us wanting more sweet things. Again, it's the whole psychological piece. If I keep allowing the pleasure center in my brain to be stimulated by sugar, I don't really allow myself to connect to the tasty foods in my life that I want myself to connect to. And I won't see them as pleasurable as the sweet things that I'm still allowing myself to eat. So taking a break from keto cookies, taking a break from keto snacks and keto this and that, and allowing your body to get used to eating regular foods is actually to your benefit, because eventually, so regular foods, I mean low carbohydrate foods, is to your benefit, because eventually that's what's going to help you to really stick to the plan and stick to your health goal. Whether it's keto or low carb or paleo, it doesn't matter. Allow yourself to love the foods that you've decided need to be part of your life. Thanks for watching, guys, and I'll talk to you in the next video.